Good evening, my friends out there, wherever you are. It is right around 6:30 p.m. on March the 19th, 2021. But if you are listening to me from the WRMI broadcasting station at 9,955 kilohertz on shortwave, the shortwave band, shortwave radio, if you are listening to me from WRMI, that's Miami International, then you might be tuned into 9,955 kilohertz. That's crazy. And that means it's 11 p.m. on Saturday night. It's not Friday, it's Saturday. It's not Monday, it's Tuesday. It's crazy time. And since it's the Planetary Status Report, although technically speaking a rebranding, a slight rebranding, a reshaping, a remaking of the Little Saigon Report, which anybody can listen to by going to the URL, imsully.com, full warning, my podcasts contain explicit material, adult content, dirty words. Because now that I have a once-a-week slot for a couple weeks doing the Planetary Status Report, I can't use certain words, words I used to use with such abandon. You can only imagine the words floating through my head when I think about the fact that I can't use certain dirty words. It's total, you know, crapola. Yes, if you're listening on the shortwave, this is the first time that the Little Saigon Report has ever done anything on shortwave. And I don't know where you're listening from. You could be anywhere, right? Shortwave can be broadcasted almost around the world, but in all likelihood, you're someplace on the Eastern Seaboard. Maybe you're in North Carolina. Maybe you're in South Carolina. Maybe you're in Sweet Carolina. Sweet Caroline, right? Sweet Caroline. A listener of mine suggested that I might be able to do a one hour a week show once a week. Excuse me as I drink a little coffee. A listener of mine who listens to the Little Saigon Report on YouTube and on SoundCloud and or downloads an MP3, because there's different ways. A listener suggested shortwave. And I don't know anything about shortwave. I know something about radio. I understand the mechanics of it. But I'm not an expert on what current radio frequencies are considered optimal or suboptimal. I'm assuming that this is an analog broadcast. But on the other hand, if you take an analog signal and you bring it through a filter, is it not possible to use the digital to reconstruct the analog? Is it not possible to take the disfigured sine wave of a scrotic world where the electrons and the photons get all mangled up? Can't you take that stream of energy and apply some type of algorithm? And then maybe your radio picks up something that ain't so good, but then it sounds great because you have a filter. And that's why we have filters. But I am digressing. This is the first time. It'll be tomorrow night, but tonight is tomorrow and tomorrow is tonight. This is confusing for me because this is not live, but I'm assuming there are people listening right now that would like to assume it's live. And the only way you can make this live is by creating an Einstein-Rosen bridge. You can do it. You can create a wormhole somehow take that shortwave radio apart. No, you can't do that. You got to listen to the instructions, right? But maybe you can hop on a plane tomorrow and go to CERN. CERN, the Large Hadron Collider, the big superconducting super collider, the super mammoth thingy that seems all weird and freaky and a little bit dirty, but I won't say a dirty word. You could just hop on a plane and go to CERN in Switzerland. And you could say, Mr. Science Man, will you open up a time tunnel so I can listen to the planetary status report as if it's live? But Science Man looks at you with the darkest glowing eye you can imagine. He says, do you understand the branching universe theory? Or Wheeler expansion? Can you imagine a tree expanding and expanding over time and space because of all the choices that are made? If you were to listen to this person, not a dirty word person, because we don't use dirty words on the radio, but if you listen to this person, and you were listening to them backwards in time, what do you expect to discover? What do you expect to hear? So I know I'm belaboring the point, and I promise next week I won't do this again, but I am talking to you from Seattle on Friday, March the 19th, 2021, and it is around 6:30 p.m., but you're also listening to me tomorrow night. You're listening to me if you're on a ship or a boat or a canoe. Let's say you're on a submarine. You're listening to me on your submarine. You're currently stalking a cargo vessel in the Atlantic near the Caribbean. And you're awaiting orders from your Enigma device. And you're picking up my station and saying, Yavul, Yavul, yes, I love this. Can I get more planetary status report, mein Führer? But you've got to take out that cargo vessel. And if you don't, something really terrible could happen. So it could be like that. Or you could be traveling in a spaceship, and somehow, some way, you picked up this shortwave signal. When you get right down to it, there's a lot of things that can go wrong with this little thing of ours here. This whole broadcasting Dan into deep space. Can you imagine the sadness of a people picking up this station, probably in the system SETI Alpha X-ray Delta Dogcat? They're listening to this with their translating technologies. They can reverse engineer all of our stupidity. They are able to construct the 3D immersive emotional experience of our deformed psyche. They can communicate with us using laser beam technology, but they don't want to. They don't want to because they think we're a waste of time. So if you're a spaceship picking up a shortwave station someplace near the moon, you originally come from some system or galaxy a babillion light years away, and you're asking yourself, why is he saying it's Saturday when it's Friday, or it's Friday when it's Saturday? Everybody knows in outer space it's always Tuesday. It's always Tuesday in space. Everyone knows this. It's the first thing you learn in space school, right after you learn how to shoot a photon torpedo. The second or the third thing you learn somewhere in that list on the first day is every day is Tuesday in space. And it's always 3:30 p.m. on Tuesday. And your boss wants you to work late. That's outer space, guys. That's the loving embrace of the deep dark. Let's continue, though. So indeed, you could be listening to this on a radio. And if you're listening on a shortwave radio, you are probably listening, one hopes, to WRMI. and I'd like to read a little bit about WRMI. Welcome to WRMI, Radio Miami International, a commercial international shortwave radio station with studios in Miami, Florida, and studios and transmitters in Okeechobee, Florida. It's kind of swampy there. Broadcasting to listeners worldwide. WRMI also reaches parts of the world by means of relay facilities and worldwide by internet streaming. WRMI sells blocks of airtime to outside organizations for as little as a dollar a minute. You can become famous for a buck a minute. If your organization is interested in broadcasting on shortwave radio to any part of the world, contact us for information on exact time availabilities. And since I'm reading about WRMI, and this is radio, I'm going to tell you. They have an email. Info, that's I-N-F-O, at WRMI.net. And there is another one in here, but I'm going to just assume that's for a different purpose. But yeah. Info at WRMI.net, and you can learn about why they allowed me to be on shortwave, doing whatever damage I'm doing to your night. Whatever excitement awaits you, it awaits me too in the world of shortwave radio. Right, shortwave. You can hear it. And let's read an article. And so you know, the Little Saigon Report, which is currently on shortwave as the planetary status report, it has a weird kind of outline. We read articles. Sometimes we have guests. It's entirely plausible that our very next episode, we might have a guest. We might talk to somebody for about an hour. This is supposed to last about an hour. They told me 60 minutes, so I'm going to produce 60 minutes. If I don't do exactly 60 minutes, something bad will happen, but I still won't swear. I still won't swear. This is an article that you can get to at radioworld.com, but as a reminder to my listeners, I'm going to keep my show notes at dfgtc.org/show notes. I repeat, dfgtc.org/show notes. Let me try that again, because I'm going to double check something here really quick, okay? Yeah, dfgtc.org/show notes. So if you go to that link, there'll be a link for every day we broadcast on shortwave for the planetary status report. I still think I'm doing okay on the bad words. But yeah, go to that link, dfgtc.org/show notes, and there's more info. More info about the Little Saigon Report, more links to other podcast channels I have. Just as stated, and I'll remind you, and in the notes it should be in flashing red, anything you go to on my website or any of my podcasts you listen to could very well contain adult explicit material. Just being clear on that. So if you're afraid of bad words, and if bad words are going to ruin your day, then you probably just want to stick to the planetary status report, if you like it. And I will try to start organizing the PSRs, the planetary status reports, as their own special subcategory to the LSR, the Little Saigon Report, which is where I am, in Little Saigon, Seattle, but I'm also on your radio on Saturday after 11 p.m. How is that working? It's crazy. So let me read this article that there will be a link in the show notes. This article is published on radioworld.com, and the headline is, Does Shortwave Have a Future? And it is written by, and I hope I'm saying this correctly, so if someone in the shortwave world emails me, and if you want to know my email, it's in the notes, but also me@imsully.com. Indeed, email me if I get the name of this author wrong, Ruxandra Obreja. I think it's Ruxandra Obreja. If I got it wrong, then I shall be punished. I'll be both. I will be publicly published as someone who's been punished. And that's what I deserve. So if I got the name of this author, Ruxandra Obreja, wrong, then please have me publicly punished and then publish the results. This article was published on February the 20th, 2019, so it's about 2 years old. And yeah, it was originally published, it was published on this site. And the author, Ruxandra Obreja, is the chairman of Digital Radio Mondial. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm sure I'm not. And I read on. When is the last time you heard a shortwave radio transmission? And why should you put up with possible crackly audio and some interference when we have now internet, satellites, FM, and all forms of digital radio? This holds true if you are in London, Boston, Paris, or Toronto. But what if you are on an island in Indonesia, or find yourself in West China, in Kashmir, or in Brazilian Amazonia? Because whether we like it or not, there are several remote places in this vast world, many of which still depend on shortwave broadcasting. In the past, think the Cold War, a lot of people were able to obtain free information from the International Shortwave Program. Many international broadcasters were running expensive, energy-guzzling transmitters for this frequency band, and I quote, without borders, that ranges from 1.7 to 30 megahertz. From the high end of the medium frequency band, just above the medium wave AM broadcast band, to the end of the HF band or high frequency band. Shortwave is just short of a miracle. Actually, when it is beamed at an angle, it hits the ionosphere, a mirror around the Earth, and then it falls like a ball at great distances beyond the horizon. Thus, these transmissions reach listeners over large areas, continents, and beyond. Two or three high-power transmitters can potentially cover the entire world. Shortwave is used not just by international radio stations or radio amateurs, but it is also essential for aviation, marine, diplomatic, and emergency purposes. Shortwave signals are not restricted or controlled by the receiving countries, and as frequencies change in winter and summer, they need to be coordinated internationally. This is the task of the High Frequency Coordination Conference, HFCC, a non-governmental, non-profit association and a sector member of the International Telecommunication Union, ITU. This group meets twice a year to produce a coordinated schedule for a summer and winter season, ironing out any interference issues among countries or broadcasters. At their recent meeting last month, they also discussed once again the future of shortwave. Nobody can deny that shortwave goes beyond geographical, cultural, religious, political barriers, is free, and can be consumed anonymously, which few platforms can claim nowadays. About 20 years ago, the BBC decided to cut its shortwave transmissions to countries such as the United States and other developed parts of the world, since these territories, or rather markets, were served by FM and the internet, etc. Other important international broadcasters, including Deutsche Welle, Radio Australia, and Radio Exterior de España, soon copied this model. But the BBC kept shortwave for its large audiences in Africa and part of Asia. At the moment, the major shortwave broadcasters are BBC, Voice of America, All India Radio, China Radio International, Radio Japan, Radio Romania, KBS Korea, and Voice of Turkey, and many more. 20 years after the first big blow to shortwave, this frequency band and its potential is being revisited. After all, not all the listeners in the world have broadband, smartphones, data plans, connected cars, or enough disposable income. And analog radio in general continues to be resilient. A third of households in the United Kingdom don't have a digital radio. That is 25 years after the first digital radio broadcast started in London in 1993, and almost 20 years after the commercial players joined in. Shortwave has been put on the agenda once again. You know what, folks? I'm going to let you read the rest of this because there's more here. It's a good article. But what I will tell you before I go too much further is that I don't know what to expect of this experiment. I don't. I have a generous listener who I can only believe and assume and hope before the Lord in heaven is a good man. And I have a lot of generous listeners, and they're good men and women, and this is a good dude, and he wanted to help out. He said, "Dan, I heard that YouTube is a stinker, and they're calling you a medical professional," which, listen, if I'm a medical professional, then give me the big bucks, baby. But I'm not. Nobody listens to my podcast for medical advice. If you listen to this show on shortwave, or you listen to my podcast at imsully.com, there is no medical advice intended. If you are seeking out my opinion for medical advice, you are likely only days away from dying. Only days away. Maybe minutes, maybe seconds. You could be so close to death. If you are deciding to listen to my opinion to make medical decisions about your existence, you could be so very, very close to death. So there, let's just leave that there. This generous listener, this good listener, and I have a bunch of them, decided to buy me some time on WRMI. And I don't know what's going to come of this. I know that I can't swear. I can't drop the F-bomb or the G-bomb or the S-bomb or any other bomb. I know that I probably should change my perspective. If it's the planetary status report, I should have a global planetary perspective. But for some strange reason, it's the same. In fact, maybe every report we have from planet Earth is a status report. And maybe the Earth is doing okay. I mean, when I walk outside and I see people wearing, you know, muzzles, it feels like I've been transported to a different planet. I do. But anywho, I've been watching this next topic. I'm going to drink a little coffee first. Next topic. I've been watching this show on Netflix called 72. 72 dangerous places, 72 dangerous animals of Asia, 72 dangerous animals of Latin America. 72. And today I was watching those 72 cutest animals on Netflix, and I was that bored or that discombobulated. Maybe I was in that kind of place. But I thought, you know, don't we need a 72 of the cutest and tastiest animals? Like, wouldn't that be a good Netflix show? And I think it would offend some people. There would be people who would write emails, angry emails. They might even have angry podcasts saying, how can you say that something so cute is so tasty? But have you ever seen a baby pig, a little potbelly pig? At first, they're really cute, aren't they? But then they get to be about 80,000 pounds. £80,000. No, I'm kidding. But they do get quite big. I don't know. I may not be going anywhere with this thought. I was just thinking about it. I was watching the 72 dangerous animals, and one of their commentators said this about orca whales. He said there's probably a psychosis associated with stripping an orca from their family and keeping them in a confined space. And dear listeners, I will tell you definitively, there is a disorder called drapetomania. And it is a disorder that plagues those who must live free. And I suffer from it as well. Are you kidding me? I mean, think about that kind of a statement. There's probably a psychosis. It's almost like a lawyer wrote the statement. I'm going to say something definitive, even though I am not a marine biologist. I am not an ocean scientist. I'm not an oceanographer. But I'm going to make a bold statement. Keeping large animals, large wild animals, in confined spaces is always bad. I don't care if it's a gorilla or an elephant or an orca whale in a little concrete swimming pool. It is always a bad idea to keep a large animal that needs to move about in a confined space. And taking any reasonably advanced creature that has reasonably advanced social connections in its community of creatures, taking anything out of the wild away from its family and its community has to be heart-wrenching. It has to be terrible. There's no probably about it. I will certify that everybody goes crazy when they're treated this terribly. Think about 2020 and 2021 so far. Think about the COVID-19. You might think it's real. You might want to send me an angry email. That's, you know, me@iamsully.com. But you might want to send me an angry email saying, I know an uncle, a cousin, who has a friend, whose accountant married a pediatrician. And the pediatrician's grandfather was talking to an old buddy at the VFW. And this random guy walked in and said his uncle's brothers. You see where I'm going with this? I have no real good evidence so far of anything related to the COVID-19. But I can say is that shutting people down, shutting people in, keeping people in prison. And if you're listening to me in the state of Florida, I am a political radical. I am further to the freedom side than your average libertarian. But if you're living in the state of Florida, you know, God bless your governor for at least on one level recognizing that you are human beings and should not be treated like animals. I live in Seattle. My mayor and the governor of where I live think that people should be treated like animals, that they should be told when to eat and when to sleep, how to interact, be told to shut up, be told to distance themselves for some bizarre reason, none of which is based on science, all of which is based on propaganda. Is it the case that if you abduct an orca child from an orca pod in the Puget Sound in the 1970s, and then you put it into confined spaces where it's being tortured, and it never gets to escape that, is it possible that that experience would drive an orca whale crazy? Yes. It's also possible that that's true for any reasonably intelligent creature. Okay? I think even the creatures that we consume, and I don't want to get into a moral discussion about eating cows and chickens, but I would even contend the following. That we probably shouldn't treat cattle and chickens the way that we sometimes do in terms of how we harvest them. We probably shouldn't keep them in confined spaces. It doesn't mean that, you know, I have a magical solution to how you feed 8 billion people chicken McNuggets and cheeseburgers. I do not have that solution. But I would argue that even when it comes to the creatures that we consume, you know, all jokes aside about eating cute creatures, we shouldn't treat them so terribly. It's not simply wrong on a kind of moral level, but it's probably bad for our health. I know that sounds a little bit weird too, left field, but I think how you treat your food is related to how you treat your life and your world, and eventually the stuff catches up with you. Next topic. So one of the creatures they covered on this Netflix show was the capuchin monkey. I'm not going to say too much about the capuchin monkey. I don't know much about these crazy monkeys. They all look kind of dangerous, whether it's capuchin monkeys or spider monkeys. I'm generally of the opinion that the creatures of the wild, even the ones that look cute, are geared up for combat all the time. A long time ago when I was in the army, like more than 20 years ago, I ran into a guy who was a ranger, army ranger. There you go. And he was talking about being in the jungle, and I was joking about spider monkeys. Because they all, why are you scared of spider monkeys? You're a big, strong man, little spider monkeys. Yeah. So spider monkeys and a lot of different types of monkeys that live in the jungle can be quite dangerous for a couple reasons. Number one, they live in the jungle, okay? They are constantly dealing with that predator-prey cycle. And they are not, you know, apex predators. They're somebody's food. So they are constantly on the watch for those harpy eagles and those jaguars, those harpy eagles, those darn jaguars. So one reason why spider monkeys are dangerous is because they have to be. The second thing is they carry diseases, not make-believe diseases, okay, like the COVID is what it looks like so far, but actual diseases, parasites, bacteria, and viruses that will kill you. Terrible stuff, okay? One of the reasons why they think that certain diseases in Africa, certain types of diseases, you know, like hemorrhagic fever, for example, like Ebola. There's a theory that one of the reasons why these viruses have ended up in the human population is because of the consumption of monkey meat. And I know that sounds funny, monkey meat, but actually, monkeys are cute and intelligent little animals, and I don't know how I feel about eating a monkey. I know that's a random topic. Anywho, I thought it would be cool if I could raise 1,000 of these dangerous monkeys. And yeah, my ranger friend just laughed at me. He basically said, "You're an idiot, Dan. You're crazy. You think they look cute. And on a one level, these little monkeys look cute. But as a group, if you terrorize them, if they think you're threatening them, if you're in their territory, they will attack you viciously. They will cut up your face. They will try to cut out your eyes. These are not cute little monkeys. But what if you could raise 1,000 capuchin monkeys and then release them at the Capitol in Washington, D.C.? What if you could raise 1,000 capuchin monkeys and just let them go with all the senators and congresspeople present? And you say, "Dan, that's terrible. You shouldn't joke about releasing disease-ridden monkeys in Washington, D.C. And I'd say, "Oh, you mean it's not an election year?" It's not an election year, Dan. I'm going to go on to the next topic. You know, I don't want to burn through these topics. I have to keep it to an hour, to 60 minutes. It's got to be 60 minutes. If it's not 60 minutes, I don't know what to do. One of the interesting questions that comes up in the year of the virus, the last year, the year of the COVID, the year of the Rona, is this issue of vaccines. Now, I want to get past the question of whether or not people should have vaccines. If you're a person that feels people should get vaccinated for every possible, you know, virus that's out there, that's your choice if you want to do it. And I think it's your obligation to research it. Because it is a medical procedure. Before we go too far down the road of what a vaccination is, here is my medical advice I will give you. Anytime a person sticks something in your body in the context of medicine, that is a medical procedure. There is a procedure code defined by Medicare for injecting stuff into people. So if you're one of these folks who says, "Well, Dan, I trust the government and the scientists," well, guess what? The government and the scientists will bill using a procedure code for that injection you get. So they call it a medical procedure for legal purposes. I call it one as well. So anytime you have a medical procedure, I don't care if it's surgery, I don't care if it's having your leg set after breaking it, I don't care what it is, I don't care if it's an injection of some sort, a vaccination, anytime that you or someone you love is about to undergo a medical procedure, it is your obligation to research it. Okay? I know they're telling you right now, and they're trying to spin this idea. In fact, the New York Times had an article a few weeks ago about this. You can research it yourself. But essentially, the New York Times came out and said, well, you know what? If you really want to be smart, you shouldn't question these authority figures. You shouldn't ask questions. You shouldn't dig into it. Just accept it as being true. This is a strange time to be alive. You know, when the New York Times is basically saying the smartest thing you can do is to be ignorant. But what I am saying, and it's different from what the New York Times would say, is any time you undergo a medical procedure, especially if it's a new procedure, something new, a new kind of technology, you should do your research. If your answer to me is, well, Dan, I don't have time, then I give back to you the reason why our healthcare system is failing. Because we should all spend at least a little bit of time asking questions about what doctors are doing to us. There is time, okay? There may not be time in the world that's been defined for us by other agencies, but there is time in the practical reality of living to ask the question, why is this doctor recommending this pill? Why is this doctor recommending this surgical procedure, outpatient or inpatient? There have been terrible horror stories involving new technologies in the medical world. I was watching this one documentary a few years ago about these Nintendo surgeons surgeries, you know, these robot surgeries where the doctor basically doesn't do the surgery. He simply controls the sticks and the joysticks and the buttons and basically the robotic arms do the surgery. And it's a great idea on one level, but in one particular case, it was a nightmare. A woman lost her entire surgical wound, and I won't go into what happened or when or why it happened. It was horrible. And it was a good example of how a new technology, too easily embraced, can in fact be dangerous. And it is your job to research it. You shouldn't just say, well, it's new, it must be good. In the medical world, I'm going to say something, and I believe this is generally true. In the medical world, if it's new, there's at least a 50% chance that it's dangerous. And I don't care what decade we're living in, the past, present, or future. In the medical world, if it's new, I think there's at least a 50% chance that you should just not have anything to do with it. So let's circle back to the vaccination. They're telling us that there's a whole bunch of different kinds. They're telling us that it's really an operating system. Boy, that sounds great. They're telling us that it's going to reprogram you, that it's an mRNA vaccine, not like an old-style vaccine. Well, that's all wonderful. But the one thing that we can say in an uncontroversial way is that they're telling us it's new. And the track record of the American medical profession on new things is not that great, guys. It isn't. It's not so great that you should just welcome this vaccine, whatever it is. What makes it worse is they don't tell us which ones we should take. They say there's a whole bunch of them. How do you research that? And then it even gets worse from there because people get the jab and they're told, well, you're going to have to keep getting it. It never stops. For the rest of your life, you'll have to keep getting the vaccination for this thing, for this COVID-19. And so far, what I see are suicides, untreated cancers, people with diabetes having heart attacks and dying. I'm seeing all of the destruction done of this thing they're calling a pandemic. I'm not seeing evidence of the thing yet, the COVID-19. I should have by now. I should be dead. I mean, given my age, my lifestyle, where I live, how I live, I should have been wiped out by COVID-19. It turns out that diabetes will probably kill me, but not the COVID-19. But maybe the diabetes gives me superpowers. You see, this is the thing about the vaccine or the jab. They're not telling us how many we're going to need. The fact that they're not telling you or giving you any real scope on how many of these injections that really seem to be a hodgepodge of different companies and different strategies, they're not even telling you how many of these you're going to need. At some point, don't you kind of raise your hand and say, this seems like a crock? This seems like deception? At some point, don't you get a little kind of, you know, incredulous and kind of tilt your head sideways and say, this sounds a little shady? So there's a bunch of different vaccines, okay? We don't know how many we're going to need. And it turns out that even if you get all your vaccines, you're still going to need a passport. And it's not going to be a paper passport either. It's going to be digital, which means by law, you'll now have to own a smartphone. Because, hey, you know, maybe they'll use SMS for it. Who knows? I own a flip phone. So pretty much, if this is a electronic passport, it's probably going to more or less guarantee that every American has to have a smartphone. Think about it. Think about how ridiculous this is. Think about how absurd this is. Think about the costs involved and the waste involved. How many of these vaccinations am I going to need? Am I going to need one every 2 weeks, every 2 months, every 2 years? I think this is a fair question. And I also think when it comes to a medical procedure, I have to say, you always have the right to refuse a medical procedure. You always have the right to say no. You always have the right to do that. That is something you have. I don't care what your government's currently telling you. As a human being, as a creature on planet Earth with dignity and freedom, you have the right to say no. And yes, they can make your life difficult. And they can tell you you can't have food and you can't have a job and will turn off your electricity and will turn off your internet. They can do a bunch of stuff because we've given up a lot of freedom, folks. If your question is, how can they get away with it? Well, they already did. They already got away with it. What we're seeing is the result of getting away with it. So, take the vaccine, don't take the vaccine. I just find it curious that we really don't know quite yet how many of these vaccinations we're going to need. I'd like to read an article. This article is coming from WPRI.com, and it will also be in the show notes at dfgtc.org/show notes. Headline of the article: Georgia massage parlor shootings. Georgia massage parlor shootings leave 8 dead. Man captured. The author of the article is Kate Broomback from the Associated Press. And the date of the article is March the 16th, 2021. Shootings at 2 massage parlors in Atlanta and 1 in the suburbs Tuesday evening left 8 people dead. Many of them women of Asian descent, authorities said. A 21-year-old man suspected in the shootings was taken into custody in southwest Georgia hours later after a manhunt, police said. The attacks began around 5 p.m. when 5 people were shot at Young's Asian massage parlor in a strip mall near a rural area in Acworth, about 30 miles north of Atlanta. Cherokee County Sheriff's Office spokesman Captain Jay Baker said. 2 people died at the scene and 3 were transported to a hospital where 2 of them also died, Baker said. No one was arrested at the scene. Around 5:50 p.m., police in the Buckhead neighborhood of Atlanta, responding to a call of a robbery in progress, found 3 women dead from apparent gunshot wounds at Gold Spa. While they were at that scene, they learned of a call reporting shots fired at another spa across the street, aromatherapy spa, and found a woman who appeared to have been shot dead inside the business. And I quote, "It appears that they may be Asian," Atlanta Police Chief Rodney Bryant said. South Korea's foreign ministry said in a statement Wednesday that its diplomats in Atlanta have confirmed from police that four of the victims who died were women of Korean descent. The ministry said the office of its consulate general in Atlanta is trying to confirm the nationality of the women. The killings came amid a recent wave of attacks against Asian Americans that coincided with the spread of the coronavirus across the United States. And I quote, "Our entire family is praying for the victims of these horrific acts of violence," Governor Brian Kemp said Tuesday evening on Twitter. A man suspected in the Ackworth shooting was captured by surveillance video pulling up to the business around 4:50 p.m. Tuesday, minutes before the attack, authorities said. Baker said the suspect, Robert Aaron Long of Woodstock, was taken into custody in Crisp County, about 150 miles south of Atlanta. Baker said that they believe Long is also the suspect in the Atlanta shootings. Police said video footage showed the suspect's vehicle in the area of the Atlanta spas about the time of those attacks as well. That, as well as other video evidence, and I quote, suggests it is extremely likely our suspect is the same as Cherokee County's who is in custody, end quote, Atlanta police said in a statement. Atlanta and Cherokee County authorities were working to confirm the cases are related. FBI spokesman Kevin Rosen said the agency was assisting Atlanta and Cherokee County authorities in the investigation. Crisp County Sheriff Billy Hancock said in a video posted on Facebook that his deputies and state troopers were notified around 8 p.m. that a murder suspect out of North Georgia was headed toward their county. Deputies and troopers set up along the interstate and made contact with the suspect, who was driving a 2007 black Hyundai Tucson, around 8:30 p.m., he said. A state trooper performed a PIT, or pursuit intervention technique, maneuver, which caused the vehicle to spin out of control, Hancock said. Long was then taken into custody without incident and was being held in the Crisp County Jail for Cherokee County authorities, who are expected to arrive soon to continue their investigation. Due to the shootings, Atlanta police said they dispatched officers to check nearby similar businesses and increase patrols in the area. And it says that Associated Press writer Kim Tong-hyung in Seoul contributed to the story as well. So this article was written by Kate Brumbeck, and it was published on WPRI.com. Why did I read this article? What was the importance of it? Well, I suppose if you keep up with the news, you are aware that somebody went on a rampage attack in the Atlanta area and killed a number of people. And it does seem that the targets were Asian, or at least related to them being Asian. And it does seem like this gentleman who was caught may be guilty. I really don't know. I don't know. One of the reasons why I wanted to read this is because if you're a listener, not to the shortwave broadcast, but to my podcast that you get to at imsully.com, if you're a listener, you're aware that I sometimes refer to these things as trauma monkeys, or a reference, a kind of reference to, basically the Wizard of Oz and the flying monkeys. They might be real. I don't really know. This could be a real thing. This might very well have happened. It could be an engineered thing. I don't really know. I know that people are being pushed to their breaking point. So it's entirely likely that this man went crazy and did this. Do I think you can blame the coronavirus for this? No. Do I think you can blame the response to the coronavirus for this? Maybe. I think that the way they shut down this country, not the same way everywhere, and that should tell you something too. I think the way they shut down this country of the last year has driven people to the point of breaking, to the point of being this crazy. I don't think anybody should harm anyone. There is no excuse for doing something like this. But there is also no excuse for keeping people basically under house arrest. There is no reason for shutting down one of the world's largest economies for an entire year almost. There's no good reason for what they're doing to a whole bunch of people right now, potentially creating more victims. So it is difficult for me to tell you how to think about a story like this. I think there are people in our lives right now, people that we know, brothers, sisters, friends. I think there are people in our lives right now that might very well be at the point of going completely crazy. And the best thing we can do is to be there to listen. I don't have a simple answer. If you listen to this broadcast next week, you know, if you listen next week, I don't have a simple answer. I don't have good evidence about the virus, and I don't really trust the authorities. It used to be not trusting the authorities was almost a kind of rational start position. Now, if you don't trust the authorities, you're a crazy person. I really don't trust them. I don't trust Dr. Fauci. I don't trust Biden, and I didn't trust Trump. I don't think we're being told the truth. And so when I think about the situation with this man going crazy and doing an incredibly evil thing, I don't believe that there is a good reason for keeping millions of people under house arrest, exposing them to really a series of psychological operations. I don't think there's any good reason for that at all right now. And I am more or less convinced that this madness is being caused, created, engineered. But you need to come to your own conclusion. You need to do your own research. That gentleman who said to himself, "It seems like taking an orca whale from their family and putting them in a confined space could lead to some type of psychological disorder." Well, yes, and duh, that is clearly the case. And if you take millions, maybe even more accurately, billions of people around the world, and you subject them to at least a full year of psychological warfare, and you expose them to lies and deceptions, you expose them to race conflicts that they don't even see, that they don't have. They don't have any racism in their life, but now they're told racism is everywhere. They don't have any sexism in their life, but now they're told sexism is everywhere. You do this for a whole year to billions of people. What do we think the result will be? I can tell you that the people who studied this back in the 60s will tell you, here's the result. People go crazy, they have heart attacks, they die. They did all kinds of very terrible experiments on monkeys back in the 60s, seeing how much stress could a monkey endure before it simply just died. This is what happens when you expose people to traumatic mind control, to this type of torture. Eventually, they just die. Next topic, perhaps the last topic for this evening, because we're getting pretty close to the hour. So one of the casualties of the year of the COVID has been, in my humble opinion, the work that's being done on the TV show The Walking Dead. If you're not familiar, The Walking Dead is an AMC channel TV show. It's about zombies. It's really not just about zombies. It's more or less about the characters. And the zombies, in some ways, are really just a force of nature. In some ways. Clearly, you don't really have the storyline without the zombies. But in some ways, by the time you get to season 3 or 4, and I believe we're on season 10 now, 10 or 11, we're really up there. But by the time you get to the season 3 or 4, the zombies are kind of like a thunderstorm or a flood. They can be terrible in large groups, but they're really not the main concern. It's the concern of living, it's other people. In fact, after season three, it's really about other people being the danger, not really just the zombies. And I suppose in the last season with the whispers, blah, 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 it does seem like the zombies came back into focus. But I don't know, guys. I kind of think that intelligent people who have at least a medieval level of understanding of technology could probably wipe out the zombies pretty easily. I don't know, the whisperer thing was a little bit too much for me, but I put up with it because I like the show. And then there's the last few episodes. And all I can say about the last 3 or 4 episodes, really the last 3 so far, is that they seem like the kind of thing you'd see on the Hallmark Channel. they seem like the kind of shows where there's just sort of soft pedaling the whole, you know, zombie side of things and focusing on their feelings. In fact, the last three shows seem about feelings. How do you feel? How do you feel about what happened? Would you like to sit down and talk about your feelings? That's not what I want from The Walking Dead. I want battles. I want strategies. I want crazy. I don't want feelings. You know, zombies aren't about feelings. Zombies are about connecting to that primordial part of the thought space of the spiritual animal. That's about goo and grime and blood and dirt and fungus. It's about picking up some metal spike and pushing it through the skull of your enemy. That's what zombies are about. And I know there are people out there who say, Dan, I've been watching these last couple episodes and I really liked it when Carol was talking feelings and I really liked it, you know, the whole Negan's got feelings. Everyone's got, I don't really care that everyone has feelings. That's not a relevant issue for me. I want something else out of this show and I guess I'm a little upset. Next topic. Okay, so I've spoken about the reset before, but So if you're not familiar with the term the reset, and before I go into this, I want to point out something that recently happened. And this is related to trauma monkeys. Trauma monkeys, you know, things that are upsetting people and putting them into places of chaos and madness. And I don't classify this as being very big. Like, it's not something by itself that would be more than a blip if it had happened during any other period of time. But you know the actress Ellen Page? Well, Ellen Page has been canceled. Now there is an actor, I think actor, named Elliot Page. Okay, so Ellen Page is gone, Elliot Page has arrived. And this isn't about hating on trans people or people's, you know, genders or orientations. But it is kind of a jarring thing for people who might have been interested in the work of Ellen Page, and now they kind of have to grok out in their head, well, okay, Ellen is now Elliot. Now, how does this relate to the reset, and how am I going to wrap this all up so I can do this all in 1 hour? Here's how. I think the reset is a kind of trauma-based mind control for people who are currently running things. You can call them the executive class, the people who are currently making stuff happen. And with respect to the whole Ellen Elliot Page thing, listen, I don't want to go into too much of it right now. Maybe we'll go into it next week because I need to close out on a positive note. I really do appreciate you listening. I'm not sure how you're listening because I didn't buy you the radio. I didn't tune it in to 9,955 kilohertz. I hope that's the right number. I don't know how you're listening exactly. That's pretty much your thing. But if you are listening to this shortwave broadcast and you just stomached almost an hour of the planetary status report, I appreciate it. If you want to know more about me, I have a bunch of links in the show notes. The show notes, you can get to those by going to dfgtc.org/show notes, and hopefully in the weeks to come I'll get this more organized. But also you can go to igluluau.com, a blog that I run with my friend Jim, and who I hope you get a chance to meet at some point. And there's a lot of links in the show notes, and just, you know, explore. Remember, I use dirty words sometimes in my writings and in my podcast. So if this is disturbing for you, you need to kind of factor that into your thinking. But we're on shortwave right now, and this has been the Planetary Status Report. To all you people in Miami, to all you people in France, to all you people in Germany and Mexico and Corduroyville in southern Sasquatchie, good night.